A pastor and a politician arrive at the pearly gates. Yeah, I think you know where this might be going. They knock on the gates, and St. Peter opens the door to see who's there. And as soon as he does, and as soon as he sees who's there, he begins celebrating. He's here! He's here! And there's suddenly trumpets that are playing and flutes that are playing and an angelic chorus that is singing and there's streamers and confetti and there's a parade and they rush the politician in. And in all the rigmarole, the pastor gets knocked over into the ground and the door shut in his face. He sits up and shakes himself off and straightens his clothes up and goes to knock on the door again. St. Peter opens the door and says, "Oh, come on in." And the pastor says, "St. Peter, I don't get it. What do you don't get?" He goes, "Well, there's me and this politician that just came to the door, and when we knocked on the door, there was all this celebrating and jubilee, and you rushed him in, and it was as if I didn't even exist." Peter says, "Yes, you're right." He goes, "But I don't get it because I've served God all my life and I've brought a lot of people to Jesus." He goes, "Yes, you have. And we're so thankful for that. But you see, we get pastors in here all the time. We've never had a politician before." We'll need to hold on to that levity for later. Last week we explored how God has planted the gospel, has planted good seed in our heart, and God desires for us to be fruitful. Yet what kind of fruit do we produce? God desires for us to produce good fruit, for us to do ministry that makes life better for others. Let's find out more. I invite you to take out your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Whether you want to use the Pew Bible or your own Bible or your digital Bible, it's all good. We're going to read verses 15 through 20. So Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. Follow along as we hear the good news. Jesus is teaching and preaching, and he's nearing the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you dressed like sheep, but inside they are vicious wolves, and you will know them by their fruit. Do people get bunches of grapes from thorny weeds, or do they get figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, and every rotten tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a rotten tree can't produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, you will know them by their fruit." It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, may we have ears to hear your words. May our heart grow with your love, and may our hands bear your good fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. As today, as we focus on what God wants, and God wants what God wants from us, and to be fruitful, God wants you to be fruitful. And what kind of fruit you produce matters. We're going to go back a little bit first to Isaiah chapter 5, and we're going to take a look at some of the scriptures there. Verses 1 through 7, we see the prophet Isaiah singing a love song to God. And the song is about God has this beautiful vineyard that's on a fertile hillside. And this was God's vineyard, God's special vineyard, and God cared for it. God tended to it. And when God went to collect the grapes, he expected good grapes. Yet instead, the grapes were rotten. And Isaiah asks in his song, what more could God have done for it? He did everything a farmer could do or should do and would do. He tended to it, watered it, fertilized it, and loved it. yet it still produced rotten grapes. And so God would go to tear it down and rip it out. And the prophet's song concludes that the vineyard was God's people, that God expected justice and righteousness from them, but instead there was bloodshed and more bloodshed. And so God's heart was broken. Because instead of the fruit that God wanted, the sweet juices of justice and healing, wholeness and righteousness and kindness, God found the bitter taste of violence and blood. The people were violent and increasingly violent. They were calloused and hateful to one another. They did not help their neighbors or the needy or the stranger. They did not exhibit the mercy and the love that God had watered them with. And then we see hundreds of years later, or just a few hundred years later, not much had changed. And we can read about this in Luke chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 3, that just moments before Jesus launches into his ministry, his cousin, known as John the Baptist, is out fulfilling what was written in the scroll of Isaiah in another part by the prophet. He was proclaiming, make a way for the Lord. Make a way. Tear down the mountains. Fill in the valleys. Make the road straight. Make the path clear. In other words, get the junk off the road. Clear the obstacles out of your life that keep you from experiencing God, because, hey, the kingdom of God is near. So you want to make that path clear to your heart and to your mind and into your life. And as people were gathering around, religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the people who thought they had it all together, who thought they were better than everyone else, they were coming to John too, and John warned them, and he says, those who do not produce good fruit are like trees about to be chopped down. And the people were fascinated by John's boldness, but also his sincerity. And as they came to him, they came to be baptized, and as they were getting baptized, He was telling them, he says, produce fruit that shows that your hearts and lives are changed. And they would ask him, how? What do we do? And he says, it's really not that hard. If you have extra clothes, give the extra to someone who doesn't have any. Don't take more than you should. Don't cheat or harass people. Be satisfied with your pay. In other words, be kind and generous and content. And we see this expectation of fruitfulness as mercy, as justice, as righteousness, as love. And it's a consistent expectation, it's a consistent message from God all the way back, all the way to Jesus, even to us today. And we see this in our scripture today as Jesus closes out his sermon and he's reiterating fruitfulness. Watch out! Because everyone produces some kind of fruit. You're going to produce fruit. So be careful of the kind of fruit that you produce. Examine it. And even be careful of the fruit that you take from others, because that can affect your own fruit. Because there are certain people that Jesus calls false prophets. Now, we hear this phrase thrown around a lot sometimes today, but when we look and see what is Jesus meaning here in false prophets, Douglas Hare, a professor in New Testament at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, says that the false prophets introduced here are those that have charismatic abilities, that they are people that are providing a bad model for ordinary Christians because they're using their charisma and their ability to speak and their ability to gather people and to sway people. They're using them for their own gain, for their own benefit. And they're using them to divide people, to turn people against one another. And this has grave consequences for those who look to them and see them as outstanding models of Christians. In other words, there are those who talk a talk, but they don't walk the walk. They don't walk the way of Jesus. That they charismatically preach a religion and Jesus, yet they heap condemnation and oppression, and they live a sort of religion that is divorced from the good news of great joy for all people. And this is dangerous. This is dangerous for those who listen and follow them, because they will find themselves caught up in this own cycle of bad theology and bad fruit. Their talk and actions are ones that divide people, that turn them against each other. And friends, we don't want that to be us. If we're going to talk about something, let's talk about God's grace that changes us, that changes me and changes you from the inside out. Let's talk about God's grace that comes into us and allows us to co-create with God to help make things better in this world, to help make good things happen in this world. Let's talk about ways to make disciples and to make others' lives better. Let's talk about examining our own selves and asking if what we're doing, if what I'm doing, if what you're doing is bearing good fruit. You know, John basically threatened those who were unfruitful with God's judgment. But Jesus built off of that and he put it a little bit different. He said, examine their fruit. You'll know if it's good or bad, because you'll know if it's bringing people to Christ and making disciples or making life better or making you better at life. You'll know. How will you know? Because it will bear good fruit. And what's this good fruit look like? Galatians 5 says it looks like this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It says there is no law against these kind of things. And in 1 Corinthians 13, we see another definition as Paul gives us a definition of what love looks like. And he says that the greatest gifts that we can have and the greatest gifts that we can share, that we can give, are faith, hope, and love. And so our life, our actions, our words, our fruit ought to reflect these things. Fruitfulness is bearing good fruit. Fruitfulness is not measuring our success in the world. That's not what God has sent us to do. He didn't say go and be successful in your business. He said be fruitful and multiply. It said, bear good fruit. Fruitfulness is us being a community of influence that introduces and lives into God's grace. Fruitfulness is a result of justice, God's kind of justice, our actions that restore people into right relationship with God and helps them bear the image of Jesus. Jesus says, you'll know them by their fruit. You know, there were a lot of religious leaders that were trying to play games with Jesus, trying to trick him and trying to trap him and trying to get him to do certain things or catch him in this or catch him in that. But Jesus didn't play the religious leaders' games. He didn't play the games that pitted one person against another. And back then, just like today, there are a number of people who misunderstand God and use their position, use their charisma, use their influence and their powerful positions and rhetorical skills to make themselves look good while they make others look bad or while they oppress the people that they don't like. They make it an us versus them. They want to make it about asking the question of, is he or she, are they with me? Or are they one of us? Or are they in our party, in our group, in our tradition, in our denomination? And Jesus says, that's not the question. And he asks, what kind of fruit do they produce? Because it's not about us versus them. It's not about Pharisees versus Sadducees. It's not about Republicans versus Democrats or conservatives versus progressives. It's not about Methodists versus Baptists. It's not about Israel versus Palestine. Really, it's not even about good versus evil. Because Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave. and he overcame sin and evil. And through him, your fruit overcomes the evil of this world. So what's it about? It's about fruit. It's about the fruit of knowing God, of knowing Jesus, and being known by him. That if you know God, then you know love. And if you know Jesus, then you know what it means to be loved and to serve and to give and to love your neighbor. So what's our fruit? We need to take some time to dig the things out of our life that produces rotten fruit, to dig out the hate and the violence and the oppression and the things that lead to evil. And we need to take the time to tend to the things that produce good fruit, the fruit of faith and hope and love. We need to tend to the things in our life that produce the good fruits of grace, the things like mercy and justice and righteousness. One day my friend Rob walked into a pub there in downtown Fort Smith, and he sat down at the bar and he ordered a Sprite. And he ended up sitting next to a man who was named J.R. Rodriguez. And it turns out that J.R. was the lead singer for a very popular local band called Stompphonic. And as J.R. being the lead singer, they called him the Rock Father. The band was hugely popular, and all kinds of people were recognizing J.R. and they were coming up to him and telling him how great and how wonderful he was. And J.R. was just, he was basking in the attention. And Rob said, "You know, you're really loved." J.R. said, "I know, man. It's crazy how all these people, I don't know, I don't have a clue who they are, but they know me and they're loving on me and showing me this attention, and they love it when I'm up on that stage." And Rob says, "No, you're loved just the way you are. On the stage, off the stage, you're loved unconditionally. Jesus loves you right where you are, just the way you are." And this was such a foreign concept to JR because he had been struggling with addiction and his own identity and who he was. And despite being surrounded by fans, he knew he was missing something in his life. And so Rob shared Jesus with him and invited him to come to church. You know what? JR actually showed up. He began coming to church, and after a few months of talking with Rob and some of us, he gave his life to Christ, and he was baptized, and he came up out of those baptismal waters with his hands up, he's celebrating. He was so excited. And then about a month after his baptism, JR was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of cancer. He only had a few months to live. And most of us, I imagine, if we're in that situation, we'd be asking, why, God? We'd be angry. We'd scream and shout and cry. It's not fair. But JR didn't. Instead, he was filled with hope and love and grace. And he began to tell everyone he could about Jesus. And he led so many people to Christ that even at his funeral, over two dozen people came to Christ. And his fruit continued to bear fruit even after he was gone. Friends, we're producing fruit. You're producing fruit, whether you realize it or not. And we need to examine the fruitful things in our lives and ask ourselves, what does this mean to God? What does this mean to those around me? What does this mean to those who need to see God through me? We need to examine ourselves and determine that if what we're doing is producing the right results. Because God's love for you is so great that God is determined to get good fruit out of you. And so I invite you to see what God can and will do in you and through you. Let's examine our life and let's encourage one another and let's love on that community that is out there and let's produce good fruit. Amen.